You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, November 3rd, episode 3810. Good morning, horse people.
Well, we're glad you're here. We're going to tackle the age-old question today. I saw a post on the auditor room. Somebody was thinking about getting their own farm, and they basically asked the question, boarding versus keeping the horses at home. And you and I have not talked about that in a long time, so I thought we could... I wrote down my list of the positives and negatives because we recently have gone from boarding to keeping the horses at home. And have done it a few times before, and I know you have too. And then Reese Kostler-Stanfield, host of the Dressage Radio Show, is going to join us to talk about how to shop for horses overseas. I know it's not something that a lot of us do all the time, but you know, you never know.
It's interesting to see how the other half lives,
yes, or
the other 1% lives.
Exactly. And she's done it a few times, and she's very practical about that kind of stuff, so it'll be good to get her opinion on it. Plus, we're going to be doing your once-a-month look at equestrian first-world problems, your equestrian first-world problems. Plus, apparently, Jamie has a lot of news. I don't know what it is, but and then we'll, in the post-show, we haven't even discussed that yet. We'll talk about something. So thank you for all the happy anniversary wishes. We got a ton of them over the weekend. We really appreciate them, and we appreciate you guys listening for 15 years, for as long as you have. So thank you for that. Wanted to remind you that Heather and Natalie from Adulting with Horses are doing their listener meetup this weekend at Equine Affair. So if you're going to Equine Affair, November 7th and 8th, that's Friday and Saturday at 5 p.m. in a Better Living Center at their booth, number 610, they're going to be doing a Horse Radio Network listener meetup. So if you're listening to this show, or really any show on the Horse Radio Network, November 7th and 8th, 5 p.m., Better Living Center, booth 610. Also, Auditor Regina posted over the weekend, and you know what's funny? Because we have these conversations, Jamie and I, and out of the blue, we'll mention something. And I'll say, if you're a listener knows anything about that, let us know. And then sometimes we get off the show and we say, none of our listeners have ever done that. And then 10 listeners write that they've done it. Well, Regina clarified this. She said, I heard on October 24th episode, Jamie and Glenn didn't know you could ride up to the Hollywood sign. And she said she does this a lot. She apparently boards there in Hollywood at the LA Equestrian Center. And apparently the Hollywood sign is in Griffith Park, which is 40 miles of horse trails in the middle of the city. So she takes her Arabian and apparently rides there all the time. And she posted pictures of her riding beside the Hollywood sign. So there you go.
Oh, how cool.
Isn't that cool?
It is. I've driven by the LA Equestrian Center when I was stuck in traffic, and I was like looking. I was like, oh, who gets to live here? Well, now we know.
That's that 1% you're talking about. Regina gets to live there. So if Reese lived in LA, she'd be going to the, you know, LA Equestrian Center. But it
I
is
don't
so...
see her riding to the Hollywood sign. But
yeah. No, I don't either. Reese hates trail riding. but isn't it cool, though, that we have listeners that every time we say, oh, nobody's ever done that, 10 of them have done it. So thank you for that. We appreciate it. All right, let's do some daily whinnies. We have a few auditors with birthdays, and then we have a few other birthdays that we have to mention, too. Our auditors with birthdays are Andrea Harrison, Cynthia Rowland, and Courtney Dew. Happy birthday to all of you. Also, a happy birthday to Sherry Wood, who was the one who designed our logo 17 years ago. The little horsey microphone logo, she's the one that did that. And then also a very special happy birthday to Pat Roberts. It's her birthday tomorrow, too. So happy birthday to Pat. And is she still doing sculptures, by the way? Does she still work on them?
She's got one on her kitchen counter right now.
Yeah? I was wondering if she was still doing it.
She's still doing that. She's still riding working cow horses. And I'm pretty sure that tomorrow is a big birthday.
Ah, okay. I didn't know which one it was. So, well, happy birthday, yeah. Pat.
Oh my gosh, she's so amazing.
And also, Lauren Sweezy, thank you for your email. She wrote us a very nice email about she listens to the show and she loves the show and everything. So, Lauren, thank you for taking time to write that email. We really appreciate it.
Here we go.
Larry Comas will call it up in the $7 million Breeders' Cup Classic.
Antiquarian is in. They're all in line. We're ready for the start. No. They're off in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Baeza was off to a slow beginning. Fierceness goes out to the early lead and runs straight today and straight to the front. Contrary Thinking now moves up alongside of him, and Contrary Thinking will take the lead. Forever Young is close. He's right there on the outside, and Fierceness is down toward the rail. Then comes Mind Frame and Antiquarian. Journalism is guided inside by Jose Ortiz. Nevada Beach is along the rail. Baeza is second last, leading only last year's winner Sierra Leone, has the opening quarter mile in 23.04 seconds. Contrary Thinking out there doing his job. He's in front by two lengths. Ever Young on the outside of Fierceness, second and third. Break of two to Nevada Beach, who's down toward the rail. Mind
By the way,
the
I said
outside.
Sierra Leone would win. Would do a repeat from last year.
And it's three back to Sierra Leone and Baeza. 45.97 was the half mile. With five furlongs to run, Contrary Thinking leads the field up the Breeders' Cup Classic in front by a half a length. With Ever Young right alongside. Mind Frame just to the outside of them makes it three in a line.
Tight Business group.
Just in behind, yeah, with Journalism to his outside. Then Nevada Beach.
How Baeza, can you tell them apart?
Sierra Leone between them and Antiquarian is the trailer. Around the far turn, Forever Young pokes his head in front. Mind Frame and now Journalism confronts them. As Contrary Thinking drops back, Baeza is four wide. Fierceness in behind horses. Sierra Leone is right in contention too. As they make their way to the top of the stretch, and they're into the stretch of the Breeders' Cup Classic. And
like six wide.
Turns for home with the lead. Journalism is second. Sierra Leone, Fierceness one off the rail. Still Forever Young to catch. Fierceness is coming. Sierra Leone and Journalism, they're coming to the finish. And it is Forever Young. Celebrate Japan! They've won the Breeders' Cup Classic. Sierra Leone was second. Fierceness was third.
I hope you placed or did that to place, huh?
Let me just tell you that if there was four more feet in that race, Sierra Leone would have
right.
won. And I had a lot of arguments with people and they were like, never would have happened. It was so close to winning. But I will, you talk about betting on that.
Did the people at the ticket window care?
I don't need a ticket window, Glenn, because I have an app.
Did the app care and when you tried arguing your point that if
it did not. It did not that I bet him to win because his odds weren't huge. Like, and I don't bet big, you guys. So like, I'm not like a degenerate. However, I will say that on Saturday, I 100% was. Okay, let me paint the picture. My husband goes on a work trip. Lucas goes to a slumber party, but it was like on a ranch. And so they like left at 10 in the morning and he was staying the night there. They were going to camp and do all this like boy stuff. And so I was in my house alone and I haven't been in my house alone in a long time. So what does one do when you're in your house alone? You have a betting app and the Breeders' Cup is on.
And a bottle of wine.
Oh, this is like all day. This is like day. I couldn't. It was like started at like 10 in the morning. So I start and I'm like, I'm going to start betting. And so I started betting and then I realized I just wasn't comfortable. So I took off my pants. So I'm sitting on my couch all day with no pants betting on the Breeders' Cup. I feel like this is a cry for help. My family leaves, and within 5 minutes, I'm pantsless gambling on the TV. Like, what? Well, my day just got better, okay? Because my friends that own Family Stone Racing, they own Mizuma. They also own a horse named Davina, our Davina. And Davina was running at Remington on Saturday night. So I had all day to sit in my underwear and gamble on horses. And then I had to get to the track because she was running that night. And it was really cool. So Remington like spaced out their starts so you could watch the Breeders' Cup races in between the starts.
Yeah. It was more really betting cool. That way.
So I'm there. They have a suite because they have race horses. There is a TV that is playing the World Series. There's a TV that's playing the OU game. And then there's the TV playing horse races. So, or just walk right outside and you can see the Remington races. So I started betting. And I'm going to continue on. And let's just say that sitting in my underwear in front of the TV was not lucrative. Okay? It did not go well for me. I mean, I was like,
but being a degenerate did not go well for you.
It did not go well. So I got to the point and I'm texting with other people like, who do you like for this? I'm like, I'm just going to bet the long shots. Cause I was like, if I hit one long shot, there was odds that were like 6-1, 2-, 5-2, all those tight odds. And then there was like 99-1. And I'm like, I'm betting on that guy. All I needed was one to hit, Glenn. One. No. Did not. 125-1 hit. I didn't have him.
Never hit when you actually bet on them.
I mean to tell you, it was
when
not
you're not
a
betting on them, they
me.
Win and you lose your bet because you bet on the favorite. That's when they hit.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, lessons learned. I just is like, I'm gonna make up all this money. So I bet all the long shots and lost everything. So then to continue my degenerate nature lifestyle, I then go to the racetrack in person and then start gambling on the horses in front. Okay. And at this point, things aren't going well. I mean, I have a budget. I'm going to spend $100 today, if I come home with anything, it's a win. I'm like, this is part of my entertainment budget, right? So I get there and I start betting and it's not going well. It's not going well. And Davina is in the second to last race and her race went off at 10 p.m. And y'all know me. I don't stay up past 8:30. So I'm tired. I've been gambling all day. I've been staring at horses, looking at programs, doing all that stuff. And then Davina went out to race and I had saved, I was going to bet her $20 across the board, no matter what her odds were. And she went off at 3-1. And I was like, man, I'm going to do $20 win, $20 place, $20 show. That's what across the board means. And I went down to the paddock and I got to walk in the paddock because I've been doing Pulse PEMF on her. And so they're like, you're part of our team. Come into the paddock. And it was so cool. I'm like walking around. I met the jockey. Like I was like all these people, like celebrities. But it's Remington. So there's no celebrities. Like I'm the biggest celebrity at Remington.
That's sad.
I know. It's really sad. So I go and I get to be the paddock. We go to watch a race and the gates open and she runs like Zenyatta. Okay. If you can go back and look at this race, it's so good. She is dead last. Dead last. And it's just like, that's her thing. She's Zenyatta. She runs dead last and she's the most beautiful dapple gray, 5 years old. And she comes around the turn and it's in Zenyatta fashion. She just passes everybody. And wins. Oh, wow. Woo! Mama made all her money back in one race.
Did you really?
One race. Because I had spent $100 on my day. And I was like, this is it. Boom. Dropped it. And I walked out with like $260 because I like won one other. It was awesome. It was awesome. I was like, my whole day is better. It paid off to sit in my underwear and gamble all day to lose to then appreciate this monster victory that I just had. Yes. So that's a long story short to tell you. My daily winnie goes to our Davina.
I bet it does.
Oh, my God. It was so fun.
So you made money two ways. You make money getting paid to do the treatments and made money betting on the winning horse.
I love these people and I love their horses. And I got to do a long line of the racehorses. It was really fun. And the Mizuma ran Friday night and he hasn't run since the spring. He's the one that was here all summer when I was doing like the targeted fitness training with him. And he finished in third I mean, it was so close. So he finished in third. And so they were super happy with that because he looked like he wanted to run.
Yeah, you weren't sure that horse would ever run again.
Yeah, and he looked into it, you know, so that's a big part of what they do is like, what is this horse telling us? Does it like doing this? Does it want to do it? And he did. So they were very happy with that. And then, yeah, and the horse racing world continues because you guys remember I talked about Miami Moonlight a couple weeks ago?
Oh, yeah, that's the one that you saw at the track and talked the guy into giving it to the rescue.
Yeah, I talked him into donating it to Horse and Hound. And so they took him to Horse and Hound and they put him there. And he's been there for about a week and a half. And he gets here like Wednesday.
Oh, so he's coming to you for training?
He's coming to me. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, if I love him, I'll keep him or I'll just find him a great job. I have so much going on. It was like a total horsey weekend because yesterday also, Miles, my sweet Andalusian, he went to cowboy camp. I sent him to cowboy camp and there's a guy, he's a upper level dressage rider who has studied in Portugal. We should get him on because he's like super interesting dude, but also like has cows and does cow work. He's like, I'm the only person in Oklahoma who wears riding pants and a cowboy hat. And I was like, yes.
For one of very few dressage riders that have cows. Let's just
Exactly. So he's gonna take Miles for the month and like see if Miles wants to be a cow pony. So I'm super excited. I sent my horse to a trainer and he was like, so let me get this straight. You started this horse and he's how old? I'm like, he's six. He's almost seven. He was like, but what does he do? I'm like, he does everything, but he just sucks at all of it. Like he can do everything. He just kind of, he's not good at anything. So I was like, find out what he's good at. And he was like, well, we could try the garrocha pole. And I'm like, nope, my shoulders don't do that. Cause he does working equitation and all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to do anything except for chase cows. Like I just, I want to like sort cattle. That's what I want to do. So if you could get him to like that, that'd be great. Cause he's a big number one. He's a huge wuss. And number two, he's just not very talented at anything, but he's real pretty. He's so pretty.
You know, what's funny is I can see it now. He's going to be good at sorting cattle. And next conversation with Chad is going to be,
babe, we need some cows. Yeah.
And oh, by the way, Chad, we can't eat them. They're just going to stay here till they get old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can't, I mean, obviously, we're not going to eat them. That would be ridiculous. Why would we have pet cows that we're going to eat?
And we're not going to milk them because we're not having cow babies. So they're just basically going to be here sponging off of us while I play with my pony.
And I'm going to play with them and I'm going to chase them
that's
around.
Right. Let's see how that conversation goes. Yeah, well, you did have a horsey weekend. Did you do anything Halloweenish? Did you like don a costume? And
oh my God, was that this weekend too? Good
yes, Lord. It was.
Yeah, I had a costume on. We had the time changer.
What were you? I missed that for some reason. Did you post it?
I did. I think I did. Yeah, because I had I made Chad wear one too, an inflatable. It's like it's an inflatable marching towards death costume. It's you riding a skeleton horse, and so the horse is inflatable in front of you. So that's what I had. But I think my favorite part of the weekend happened this morning.
Oh, okay.
And that sounds weird, right? But remember, Chad's gone, so it's just me and Lucas. He's back, and so we hung out yesterday, and you know the time change happened, but I didn't change any clocks in the house because I was like, I really want him to go to bed an hour early. Like I want to trick him into going to bed an hour early. So it's like, I'm like, dude, it's 9:30. Get upstairs and go to bed. He's like, oh my gosh. So it goes, it's 8:30. I didn't tell him. So the problem is that this morning I always winks and I go wake him up every night, every morning. And she runs up and she jumps in bed and licks his face. And that's how I wake him up. And so my alarm went off because my iPhone is, you know, updated. And I hear, and it's like 7:06. My alarm goes off and like 7:15. I'm like, all right, I got to go get him up. Come on, Winks. And I hear this bam, 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 bam on the door, on my bedroom door. And I'm like, what? And he was like, we're late for school.
Oh, he looked at the clock.
Backfire. fire. Actually, it worked out great. He was so freaked out. He was dressed and ready to go in like 5 minutes.
He hated you.
And I was like, oh, good morning, sweet baby. There was a time change that happened. And he's like, oh my God.
I'm shocked. I thought he'd be old enough. You wouldn't have gotten away with that one.
Oh, I did it. I did
you know, what's funny is I saw one of my other Facebook friends post on there. Did anybody else get away with not telling their children? Apparently, yes.
Yes, I did. I got him to bed an hour early and he had a panic moment waking up and was dressed and ready to go to school in like 5 minutes. Yeah, I win.
You win.
That was my favorite part of the weekend.
You win. All right. One news note. I don't have much to comment on this, except I was surprised. We do a show. We produce the show for Smart Equine, the old Smart Pack. We produce their show. So, you know, I've been working with them for a while now. And I was shocked to see the news on Friday that Chewy bought Smart Pack, bought Smart Equine.
That is amazing.
You know, it was surprising, yet I kind of figured they're owned, but they were been sold like five times, right? Smart Equine has. So I wasn't surprised because they were owned by an investment company, basically. So what do, you know, investment companies want to sell things. That's what they do. So I wasn't surprised. I was kind of surprised that Chewy was the buyer, you know, and I'm glad because Chewy has excellent customer service. You know, Smart Pack was always known for their customer service and Chewy's excellent customer service. So that's good. And I don't know if they're going to run. I don't know any more than what I read in the press release, if they're going to run it as two separate companies or they're going to merge it. I don't know.
Well, I hope Chewy continues to do what it does. My Ginger lost her cat and had a subscription for this special food and they sent the food out and she's like, oh, you know, I'm sorry. She called. She's like, can I send it back? You know, like, and just cancel my, she didn't even send it back. She was like, just cancel my thing. And they were like, what happened? Oh, my cat passed away. And they were like, keep the food and donate it. We'll cancel everything. And then they sent her flowers. I don't know if it was flowers. They sent her something like a gift. I'm like, that is just customer service at its highest level. So, I mean, merging Smart Pack, which has always had good customer service, and Chewy, like, they're taking over the world.
Chewy has, that even above Smart Pack, is they have the distribution system. They have the warehouses. You know, there's a warehouse right here in Ocala. It's enormous. We buy something from Chewy, it shows up like in 10 minutes. You know?
It's crazy. And also, just remember, Chewy is all of their, any open bags or bags they don't sell, they send it to rescues. Once a week, Nelda from Horse and Hound goes to the airport and picks up food from Chewy that they send her for free. Like, how amazing is that?
Jennifer got something from Chewy. I forget what it was. What'd you buy from Chewy recently that you commented about? It was a supplement or something. She bought something from Chewy and just made a comment that I forget exactly why, but it wasn't great. And she made it. She actually, it was fly spray. That's right. She got a fly spray and it was so thick it wouldn't go through the fly sprayer. So she just put a review on the product on the Chewy website. And Chewy contacted her within an hour and gave her a full refund.
Oh my gosh.
And all she didn't ask for that. All she did was put a comment that it didn't go through the sprayer. She put that on the Chewy website, but apparently they watched those comments and
they do.
It came through within a day. We got a full refund for the product.
That's fantastic. Well, highlighting good people
and
doing
I gotta
good things.
Clarify, I have to acknowledge that Chewy is a sponsor of ours and we work with Smart Pack. I mean, we work with both.
For first-time horse owners and new riders just starting out, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel Feed to bring you My New Horse, a place where equestrians just getting into horse ownership or riding will find the resources and community they need at precisely their stage of the equine journey. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines who are eager to find easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit mynewhorse.com.
Well, Jamie and I are so excited this morning to catch up with an old friend, Reese Koffler-Stanfield of the Dressage Radio Show. Hey, Reese.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Reese, I looked up when you made your first appearance, because we just had our 15th anniversary last week. And I looked up.
I know. Congratulations. That's huge, you guys. Amazing.
You were on in December of 2010 was your first appearance. That was a month after we started. Episode 24. We're on almost episode 4,000.
So. Yeah, you can't get rid of me, Glenn. Here I am. I'm
that
still
was before
here.
You were hosting your show.
That's right. That's right. I did. I can't. We met at, I don't even know.
Jennifer thinks we met before WEG at one of the pre-WEG events in Lexington there.
I think that's right.
Yeah. That's where she thinks we met. Yeah.
We met and then we started chatting at Equine Affair. And then you said, hey, would you, you know, do this podcast thing? And I was like, okay. And then somehow it came up that I liked recipes. Like I like to cook, which I do. And you were like, will you do recipes with Reese? So yeah, I did that for a while with you. I even had a fire alarm go off one time.
That's right. Hey, do you remember the first recipe you did? This'll challenge
you. No. Glenn, I can't remember yesterday.
You did the most bougie recipe we've ever had in 15 years. Yorkshire pudding.
That's right. I did because that's what we did for Christmas. And you were like, do something you would do for Christmas. And I was like, well, okay, this is what my family does for Christmas. And yeah, it was pretty bougie.
She has a bougie family because I don't think I've ever had Yorkshire pudding in my entire life. No.
You mean you didn't make it right after?
No, I did not make it.
Yeah. It's great. We have it every Christmas. So it is, it's like a tradition. So I know. And it's almost the holidays. How did that happen?
I don't know.
The main question is, how did we do this crap 15 years ago?
I feel like that was like 2 years ago. Like seriously, like yes, this group, we have talked a lot. We've done a lot of shows and had a lot of fun.
Yeah, so. You're 11 or 12 years on yours now.
I think it's more like 13.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh my God. You're 13 years on yours now.
Yeah, 13 and a half, actually. Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure. I'm not 100% on that, but you could look it up. You're good at looking it
up.
I'm
pretty sure it's 13. I tried to look it up. I couldn't get back far enough.
fair.
So, and look at this. I mean, we've done this long enough that I don't even own the company anymore. So
I know.
So let's talk horses, Reese.
Sure.
You've been doing a lot of clinics this year. I know that was your goal, but it seems like you've succeeded.
I enjoy teaching. You know, I have an FEI license, and actually I am working on my FEIA license. So that'll be the first time in the U.S. it's offered. But I really love coaching. It's like my first love for sure. So, and I also have had a lot of young professionals come through my program, and now they're like off in cool places running their own programs. So I get to go and like be the grandma trainer and come in for a clinic, go for fun food and drink and lots of laughs about old times. And it's been fun. I have been literally last night. I was like, I have actually been on plane, trains and automobiles in the last 3 hours.
Really have. I mean, you were in Aiken this last weekend, right?
Yep. I just got back in from Aiken last night and it was lots of fun. And again, I love to travel and I love to teach. So, during COVID, you know, I stopped doing it. So I think it is a muscle. Like, I mean, I'm like, oh, I forgot what it's like to do two weekends of clinics in a row. Like, whoa. Yeah. So, but it's been lots of fun. I've enjoyed it.
Now, the last time I got to come to your farm, I got to meet Big Mike, who was the sexiest dreamboat of a horse ever in the whole wide world. How is Big Mike doing in his new home?
Yes. So Big Mike, I think like all riders and horses, you know, that's, and Jamie, you understand this. As a professional rider, there are times when you really have to step back and say, you know, this horse has been amazing and he has taken me places I never thought I would go. But I love to develop Grand Prix horses. And my ultimate goal is to get back in the CDI ring, which with a horse that we own as a group. I have a group of owners. And Big Mike was a great national Grand Prix horse, but he wasn't, which is like a great, you know, it's like a good NFL quarterback, but he's not great. And so I needed the like 1%, and he didn't really want to be an international Grand Prix horse. So it was time to sell him. And you know, the best part of a horse like that is he landed in the best home. I basically wanted to get on the trailer with him. I was like, this lady, like they call him Magnificent Mike. And I mean, he's just been, he has like the best stall and the best view. And, you know, that makes me so happy. And then, you know, last year I went on a grand adventure to kind of reload my pipeline, which is always, it's new. I mean, I have to be honest, I loved riding my grown horses. That was amazing. But Bingo, my international horse, retired, and Mike found his next new home. So then it was me getting young horses again.
So what did you do? Tell me about that. I want to know what it's like to go to Europe with Reese and buy horses.
Well, it's something I do. It's a service that I offer for sure, because I did live in Germany for 2 years and I have some really good connections over there. So it is fun. It is. But if you want a European vacation, I tell you to go on a different trip. Because it looks glamorous, but it's literally like we like pulled off the side of the road and got a picture with a windmill. It's like, whoa, there's one, turn off. And then we stopped at a gas station and got a sandwich for lunch, you know? But it's really long days. So basically when I sold Mike, my goal was to actually, to get a nice young horse. And it turned out, I went over, I always look in the States first. So I do like to say that I did look stateside. I'm always kind of looking around, seeing what's out there. I couldn't find what I was looking for. So I went with a client and Jessica Gaston, who's one of my young professionals. I always, if I'm looking for myself, I always take a second rider, somebody that I trust that's there kind of as my advisor. And so I always recommend you do that. Like always take a second person because you're also exhausted. You've seen, you know, 15 horses in one day. You've driven all over the place. So sometimes it gets a little confusing. So Jess went with me and a client. So the client was looking for a horse and I was looking for a horse. And yeah, you basically land and you're on, like you land at 8 and you're on a horse at 10 kind of thing. It's crazy. Mm. And then we drive around. And last year, I actually vetted quite a few horses in Europe, and my first trip, I went to Germany, Holland, and Belgium, with great agents and people to help, you know, help guide us. And unfortunately, none of the horses passed the vet. So it was frustrating. Man, that
Do you take notes on each of these horses, or do you know in 5 minutes whether it's on or off the list?
I probably know in 2 minutes. Like I know pretty much right when I get on them. You know, I kind of talk to people when they're looking for horses. It's kind of like dating. You know, it's your first date. So it has been a very long time since I went on a first date. I mean, we're talking decades at this point. But with horses, you know, it's like, do I like the color? Do I like their personality? Do I like their height? What do they like to tack up? You know, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, then the second day, then what we'll do is we'll make notes that night. So again, you're working till sometimes midnight, you know, looking at horses, re-looking at the videos. As soon as we don't like them, we take them off the list. And we always kind of have a running list going, which is really helpful. And then when we go back the second day, you know, the other thing I think is good, if we can, we take one saddle, like a saddle that'll fit a lot of horses, if possible. Because sometimes you get tack that doesn't fit or bridles that don't fit. So that's, you know, sometimes you make an adjustment on that. And then you go back the second day and that's where you really get serious. And, you know, that's what makes it a little bit tricky to go horse shopping sometimes. So when you go shopping, you know, it takes a little bit of time to go through. And then if we like that horse, then we'll spend a couple hours with them or her, depending on what we're looking at.
Gotcha. So if you get out of the car and you walk up to the horse that's standing right there, I want to know what the first thing is that you look at and the green light or the red flag that sticks out in your mind that comes first.
Well, good question. Sometimes it's a feeling, and I know that sounds silly, but that's what it is. So when we get out of the car, we usually have seen a video, if we can, of that horse. So we kind of know already what we're looking for. And videos are helpful in a way of like, do I want to see the horse? But I've seen a lot of really good horses look really bad on video. So I think that's really important to remember. Like the video is not everything, because you don't get character. You don't get like, I like really sweet and pretty horses, because I feel like if they're sweet and pretty, they will sell. Eventually. And, you know, all my horses at some point will be sold. Right. And I know that sounds cold, but I mean,
it's Mike, business. You're a business person. Yeah.
Right. And so I had Mike for 8 years. So it was a long partnership. And that's really what I look for, is a long partnership and what I want, which is really helpful and nice. So that's usually what I'm looking for, because my feeling is if I find a really nice horse that maybe isn't going to eventually be my long-term partner, there's so many traits about that horse that we like that somebody else will like that horse as well, which is cool. So, you know, we get out of the car, and this is in America too. This isn't any different wherever you are. And, you know, I asked to see the horse, I want to see the horse teched up, because that tells you a lot about the horse. You know, if they're girthy, you know, what does that mean? If they're kind of snarky, what does that mean? You know, again, you're just kind of watching and looking. I also like to see the horse, somebody mount the horse, because that's a big thing for me. I have had some bad accidents getting on horses. So I want to see somebody getting on them and getting off of them. I also want to see them walk by the gate, because sometimes horses, like toward the barn, sometimes horses do not want to. So, you know, they're either a sour, barn sour, or whatever you're looking for. So that's why I bring a second person too that knows me and knows horses. Because sometimes you'll get a quick little cue of like, yeah, that horse is trying to take that rider back to the barn. I'm not interested, kind of thing.
Okay, so like mounting, barn sour, those are just like, you'll just stop it. We're done.
Yeah, we're done.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And so, you know, again, for them to pass our inspection, it's hard. It takes a long time. Ideally, I like to see the horse turned out. I also see the horse in the stall. Then that's actually really important, because somebody made a mistake and a cribber was imported. So, you know, I want to see the horse in the stall. I want to see the horse in the cross ties. I ideally want to see the horse turned out and where he lives or she lives, and how they handle turnout. So even all these like little barn issues, not just the riding. So when we get to the riding, you know, usually you see their rider ride them. But sometimes like the rider's on vacation or they're sick or whatever it may be. And then from there, I always see somebody on the horse first. I'm not jumping on there first.
No, that's never. That goes for all people buying horses at any price range. You do not get on that horse first, because we've all been bucked off that horse who they were like, it's fine.
Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. And that's for me, for training horses, just in general. And so then, you know, once we get on them, then, you know, then it's that kind of a feeling. Do you like how that horse feels? Is it too tall? Is it too wide? Is it too, this is funny. I don't like horses that don't have a big shoulder, because I feel like I'm just like going to fall forward. I don't like that.
Okay.
So I like a horse a little bit more bone up front. That's just personal. Then we ride, and it's really dependent on the level and the horse, and if it's mine, going to be my horse personally. Do I think, you know, in 5 years I can make that horse piaf or pirouette? And that's a feeling. And so then I get on, and then if I like that feeling, it doesn't take me that long to check all those boxes. If that's just experience, you know, when you've been on a lot of horses,
But I think that's really interesting that you have just like these red flags of like, hey, if you want to sell your horse for that much money, it should stand at the mounting block. Like, you should have taken the time. So that's so interesting that like the barn leany horses and then the ones that won't stand at the mounting block. Because it's funny, those behaviors that you don't like are the horses that come to me to have them fixed.
Correct. Because I am like, for me, that would exactly be what would happen. Right. Like, I would send them I have someone like you in my locally who I use, and they absolutely would go to her. They usually go when they come to the States. I use, her name's Mary Rose. She's been on our show. She's wonderful. All my horses go to her, or she comes to me. And we do some sessions with them, and she does natural horsemanship, but also ground manners, but also scary things. So they learn how to handle that. And that kind of gets into once we import them. But all that really matters to me, because again, I'm not I'm mid-40s now, so I'm not interested in, I'm not no longer young in the sense of I need my horses to behave pretty well. And once we've ridden them and my number two has ridden them, whoever comes with me, they get on, they feel, you know, and so we both have a good feeling. And then we usually get back in the car and we just unhash it like crazy and decide that way.
That's awesome. So you did pick up, I did see something about a horse named Rocky.
Yes. So I ended up not getting a horse. So we ended up going to Germany, Holland, and Belgium. I think one of the things you have to know if you go overseas is you may not come home with a horse and you have to be okay with that, which is like, you're like, oh.
And that's not so a cheap then, shopping trip. I mean, you're spending money.
No. I mean, it, you know, again, I tell people like you need to have a good budget for just travel. And that's if, you know, even in the U.S., I mean, the reason we go to Europe is you can just see more volume of horses in actually a shorter amount of time.
In a smaller space.
In a smaller space. That's right. Yeah. So, you know, I basically say, like, if somebody wants a thoroughbred in the world, they're coming to Central Kentucky. Same thing. Like, we want a sport horse. We're going over there. So, yeah. And then I ended up having some friends that they work. Bob C. Clark and Martha Thomas, they work in Belgium. They're American agents. And you know, I used to ride with Bob C. when I was like 14 and 15. So I called them up and said, hey, are you guys going back to Denmark? And they said, yeah, we're going in December. So I was like, all right, I'm going to Denmark. Went through the same process with them and they knew of Rocky. I'm not a small person. But Rocky's owner, a rider, was really small. I think she's literally the size of my leg. And Rocky's big. Yeah. So when
Rocky
I got on
isn't
Rocky,
big, he's enormous. He's just
he's huge. He's a big dude. He's actually not that tall, Glenn. Like
he looks enormous in pictures.
He looks enormous. Yeah, he's like 17'1". Like he's a big dude. And so yeah, I found Rocky. Yes. So he was a 5-year-old Danish warm blood. And he checked all the boxes. He really did. He checked. He's sweet. He's pretty. He's kind. He had shown a little bit. And for me and Jamie, you can understand this. Like, I don't like taking horses to their first horse show. Like, that's not something I like to do.
No. Yeah.
Yep. Nope. And he had shown a little bit. So that was important to me. So we purchased Rocky. And I didn't mention this earlier, but when we had been in Holland, kind of end of October, I had seen my chestnut horse's little brother. Y'all, I just saw this baby and I was like, he is so cute and so sweet. And I was like, I kind of want him. And I came home and I showed my husband the picture of this foal, and Glenn can tell you, I have a wonderful husband, but he just thinks we're all crazy. And I showed him the picture and he's like, I have not seen you smile like that in a really long time. I think you should buy him. So at the end of the year, I did have a little money left over from the trip. And I was like, I'm going to buy a foal. So I bought a foal.
And this is so un-Reese. It's unbelievable. This is not Reese.
And it's so un-Travis, like, to be like, you were smiling so much. I think you should get him.
Oh, my God.
So it's so funny.
He's still over there, though, right?
He's still over there. Yeah. Yep. So he's just fun, Jamie. Like,
I did a similar thing. Now, granted, my budget was quite different, but I fell in love with this nurse mare foal. And now I have a 6-month-old foal in my pasture that, like, it's a quarter horse. I have no reason to have this baby horse. But you know what? Sometimes you just got to do stuff that brings you joy, right?
Joy.
And your husband saw that it was bringing you joy. Oh, I love him.
And he still brings me joy. Like, I have to give a shout out to Samara, who's wonderful. I have a friend over there who manages him. So she deals with him all the time. I went over there and that was the fun thing. I was like, you know what? He's going to stay there. Because again, he actually has to check all these boxes too, to come to America. Like, it's more complicated now. They're, you know, with the tariffs and importing and that kind of stuff. So right now he's hanging out in a field in the Netherlands. And I texted my best friend this summer, who's also, she's a saddlebred rider, but she also has babies. And I was like, do you want to go to Amsterdam to check in my foal? And she's like, yes. Like, yeah. Literally all it was yes. And it was like, when are we going? So yeah. So my best friend and I flew over. Travis, my husband, wasn't able to go. And yeah, we just flew to Amsterdam to check on my baby. And there was definitely some other fun things involved, some art museums and that kind of stuff, but it was a business expense for sure.
sure it was. Awesome.
So he lives really like 15 kilometers from the North Sea, and Jamie, this one's a troublemaker. I just got a text this morning calling him Mr. Nosy. I was like, oh boy. So he of the time brings me joy, but there are times that
He's sweet and pretty. And now you get to go visit your baby in the Nether. Yes. Like, good Lord, that is, you're living the dream, Reese. Well, it just brings me joy. Yeah. Do things that bring you joy.
I think so. You know, I mean, horses, as we all know, there are so many ups and downs. And, you know, at some point, you know, again, buying horses is really stressful. And the only thing I can tell people is like, have a good team, but listen to your team. Like, you know, that's a huge thing. Like, I have seen people that like don't want to pay their trainer's commission. Well, when you purchase a horse with someone or you go with someone, you're invested in that horse. And that's important if the trainer's doing the right thing. And, you know, for me to have, you know, I even bring someone for myself. I'm a professional, but I'm in the buyer's position. So I need someone to kind of like, not just say it's cute. It's like, well, let's see if it passes vet, you know, like, you need a person there that's also skilled. And I know a lot of riders like myself will take a colleague with them and which is good.
Cool. Well, Reese, I am so happy to have you on. Please come back on and let's do another holiday recipe different than the Yorkshire pudding that Glenn actually might make.
No, he's not. I'm going to have to make it for him. So Glenn, I'll make it.
Okay.
I mean, we have to pull that recipe.
Only way I'm eating it. So there we go.
You'll be in Florida soon. You can go see him.
I know. We'll do it. It's good. It's delightful. It's not healthy, but it's delightful.
Reese, where can people learn more about you? What are your socials? Obviously, the Dressage Radio Show is a pretty good start.
Yes. Come listen to us on the Dressage Radio Show. I have a wonderful co-host, Megan McIsaac, who has joined me, and she is so fun and fabulous. We love it. We have so much fun. So that's the Dressage Radio Show. And my website is maplecrestfarmky.com. And you can always email me at reese@horseradionetwork.com.
Always awesome to talk to you. Love you, mean it.
You guys too. Me too. Talk to you guys soon.
Even under the best circumstances, travel is stressful for horses. We've all been there, stuck on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere. You can make the journey knowing that U.S. Rider is there for you. Get peace of mind on the road with U.S. Rider's nationwide 24/7 roadside assistance coverage for both you and your horse. Join today at usrider.org.
Well, that was nice to have Reese on and chat about traveling and doing all of that. Now I want to go on one of those trips with her, but I'm not really qualified to.
I just want to go to Europe.
Last time they were in she was in Amsterdam. She mentioned that she brought her friend and they did all the touristy things in Amsterdam. I was so jealous. So jealous. All right. One of our auditors posted, my husband and I are hoping to buy some land and bring my horses home in the next few years, but I'm worried I'm not thinking of all the costs that come with that. Has anyone else brought their horses home and wouldn't mind sharing their experiences, finances, and surprises? Any suggestions or advice? Yes, I'll raise my hand. We did that last year. You've boarded in the past and you've had your horses home more than you probably boarded now over time, right?
I mean, I grew up boarding my horse and forever. And then, I boarded in Arizona too. I boarded in Georgia. I boarded my whole, I mean, just marrying this sucker is what got me afar.
So we both done boarding and we both done our horses at home and we both had stables. I mean, at one point we probably had 20 some horses at our barn. So we ran a boarding stable and a training stable. So we've both done similar things. I'm coming to you from a horse husband's point of view, and Jamie obviously is the worst person. So I put a list together and let's see if you agree or disagree. the positive and negative of both, right? And I took a look at it from the horses at home, and the positives and negatives of that. So let's do do you want to do the positives first or the negatives of having horses at home?
Let's start with negatives so we end on positives, because I'll add if I feel like it.
The cons, and this depends on your situation and where you're located. One is freedom for vacations. You can't just take the spur of the moment trips like you used to, unless you have a built-in babysitter like Jamie, which most people don't.
Yeah, and the pros of that is you don't have any money to go on vacation anyway. So true. I mean, really,
there you go.
It's fine.
That is true. There, you wanted the financial side. There's one.
Yeah.
This is a situation too. If you're only having a couple of horses at home like we do, we had to think about this. Can you get a farrier or a vet to come out? A lot of farriers don't like coming, especially if you're out on your alone in an area. They don't like coming out for one or two horses. So you have to make sure you can get that. Now, we live in a horsey neighborhood, so it was easier for us. But if we lived an hour out where there was no other horses around, it would be tough.
Jen's going to farrier school.
Exactly. And a vet's the same way. Right now, vets, can you get a vet, period, is the question in a lot of areas. So that is something that you might want to take a look at, where your farm's going to be, and are there those two services in your area? Because it is a consideration. Jamie's going to like this, and she's going to say, this is why you get married. You fix the things that break. That was the, boarding, you don't worry about that stuff.
So. I would like to rephrase that and say, he fixes things
that break. That's right. So if you have a husband, that helps. A husband that's handy helps even more.
He didn't start out handy.
I didn't either.
I had to train him.
I didn't either.
YouTube shows you everything.
And you do have to pay for the things that break. That's the other thing. So
that's true.
There is that side. So when they run through your three-board fence, you're replacing the boards and the fence. So yeah. You are doing that. So that's a con. You need to know first aid. And I put this in the con category because it is something that you need to know. And if you don't know, it's a con. You need to learn to wrap, to bandage, to irrigate, to inject, to poultice, how to mix meds, how to give meds, all of those things, because your vet, especially today, is not as handy as they used to be. So would you argue with that?
I don't know if it's that my vet is not handy, but it's...
Well, it depends where you live, too. Some of our people wait 4 hours for their vet to get there, right? So
yeah, well, and if you're calling out the vet every 5 minutes, and it's going to be learning how to do all of this is imperative for having horses anyway. So you should learn first aid. You should understand wounds and wound care. And this should be fundamental for having horses, whether you board or not. But yes, you will have less help when you have, like, I've got a kit. I've got this like whole big tub of medications.
Yeah, Jennifer does too.
Because you have to, because at some time you can't get a vet out and you need a shot of something. Whatever. So knowing first aid is important whether you board or not. So I'm taking that off the list.
Okay. All right. You can take it off. Companionship. This is one of the biggest complaints I have seen from people that have gone from boarding to having the horses at home, is they have nobody to ride with anymore. And that is one of the biggest negatives I've seen from people who just post, I thought this was going to be great. And for 90% of it is great, but I have nobody to talk to.
Yeah. So I that's why I had Zoe, who we talked to last week, half lease Ace. So I've got somebody that comes and rides. Backstory, remember Farm Girl. Farm Girl was not willing to work for her board. She just wanted to be a boarder, and I don't do that. So she has moved on. I found her a show barn to go to, which is great because her horses were incredibly high maintenance and terrifying.
They're show
horses. And so, but I've got Zoe now, and she comes out a couple times a week. So you figure, do I need somebody to ride Ace a couple days a week? No, but is it nice to have companionship?
Is it more fun?
Somebody out there. It's
yeah.
So fun.
Yeah.
It just has to be somebody you like. So you figure out a way to make it happen.
I think that's one that people underestimate, because they're at a barn. And, when you're at a barn, there's always the one bad person, right, that drives everybody nuts. But you forget about the 10 that you have fun with. So you do have to consider that when you're going on your own. We were never at a barn when we had our horses here. We were never at a barn where there were a lot of other people. So it wasn't Jennifer didn't miss anybody when she moved, because there weren't a lot of other people there. We were pretty much the only boarders at the places we were at. Manure management, you got to figure that out depending on where you live. You tend to collect more, this is from a horse husband's point of view, you tend to collect more horses than you would have boarding, and that can be good or bad, depending on whether you're looking at it from my point of view or Jamie's point of view.
More horses, please!
It's true, though. That is just a fact. Is there a place to ride? We were, this one of the reasons we moved out of Lexington, Kentucky. Lexington has all this gorgeous property, and none of it you can ride on. It's all big thoroughbred farms. You're not allowed to ride there. And so we were at a boarding stable where there was no riding, you know, in the field, but there was no trail riding. Jennifer loves the trail ride. It's the reason we moved here is because there's nothing but trail riding. So it depends where you're living. Is there a place to ride? Even an arena, you know, or are all your, you know, all your fields on the side of a hill? You know, those are things you have to take into consideration, too. And you're
Like Reese, I don't care to trail ride, so that's not a big thing. But yeah, I've got to have an arena. Like, yeah.
And, you know, you may be coming from a boarding stable that has an indoor arena. And unless unless you're wealthy, you're not going to have an indoor arena. So, and you will never worry so much in your life about grass. When you have your own farm and you have your horses turned out, you're always thinking about grass. It's the stupidest thing, but it's true.
I lay on my belly and I talk to it and I'm like,
am I wrong about that? Or is that just a horse husband thing?
Oh man, especially in Phoenix, like it was, we were one of the lucky ones to live on irrigated horse property. And I would just sit with it and talk to it. Hello. I love you so much. What can I get you today? How can I help you?
Do you have any other cons that you would add to the con list before we go to the positive?
I'm like crazy person who just absolutely loves every bit of having my horses at home. Like I love it
and
so
Jennifer,
much. When
we were, and I do too. You know.
Yeah, and when we were dealing with the potential turnpike thing, and I'm trying to figure out what we're gonna, I'm like, we are too old to start over again on a farm. Like we've done it so many times now, and so I was like, I don't want to start over again. So then I made, do I pick like one or two horses and keep those guys and then board them? And I would have. I was like, the only thing I could do is if I go to a boarding place and they need somebody to be the manager. Like that's the only way. Excuse me, that I'm going to win.
Well, you need to putter. You're like Jennifer. You guys need to putter with your horses. You need to just, like, she goes out to the barn for 3 hours. I have no idea what she's doing. We have three horses. But she putters. I just call it puttering. And
she's not puttering. We have so much stuff to do.
She's puttering. Now, I will say from the horse husband point of view, who likes horses and has a horse, when we were boarding, I never saw the horses because I was working and I didn't go out as much as she did. So maybe once a week I'd see the horses. Now I see them every day. So that is an advantage for me.
One of Chad's things was he never saw me because I worked a full time in Arizona. I worked a full time job, but I had two horses. And so I had to ride for my board because I couldn't afford board. And so I would go early in the morning at like 5 o'clock in the morning and ride one of mine and one of theirs. And then after work, go back and ride what my other one and one of theirs.
I just added to the positive list. Spouse will see you. There you go. That's a good one. All right. Here's what I have quickly on the positives. You get to know your horses much better. I think that's true because you're just spending more time with them.
Yeah. And then they get annoy you more.
So it's a positive and a negative. You make all the decisions. That's a positive and a negative. And I mean about not about your horses necessarily, but about the whole farm.
Yeah.
And that's tough sometimes. You determine the feed and the hay and what you're feeding and the quantities you're feeding. You have nobody telling you to do it wrong. Or in our case, Jennifer wanted the horses when we were boarding here given so much hay, and the lady refused to do it, saying that's too much hay. She refused to do it. And we were buying the hay.
No.
Yes. So you can feed extra or less if you want. You know, so that's nice. I mean, you have control over that whole thing. No barn drama, unless you were the one making the barn drama. Then you probably still do have barn drama.
Internal barn drama.
Yeah, exactly.
Who is the person that, where is my lead rope? I tell all the time, who keeps taking the lead ropes? Oh, that's me. That'd be me.
But you have less barn drama than you do when you're at a barn. And maybe you're at a perfect barn when you were boarding and there were no barn drama. They do exist occasionally. You pick your own vet or farrier because a lot of times the barns will pick that. So you get to do that. And that's a positive and negative, as we talked about earlier. No driving to the barn. This is a huge positive. And some people I know drive an hour to the barn. And they get off work. They're half an hour drive from work. They drive an hour to the barn. They're not getting home till 9 or 10 o'clock if they go out and see their horse, which makes them less likely want to do it a lot. So not driving to the barn is huge. And a cost savings, too.
I in Atlanta, I drove an hour one way.
And in Atlanta, that sucks.
Yeah.
You can ride, groom, or work your horses whenever you have a spare moment, day or night, doesn't matter. That's a definite positive. That can
On the negative side of that is, like, you feel like you're just a total turd because you haven't ridden your horse today. Like, they're right there. Just do it. And some days you
that is true. The guilt.
Don't do that. Yeah.
Or you have so much barn stuff you're doing. You got clean the stalls and you do all the barn stuff, fix the fence and do all of that. And then you don't have time to ride.
Oh, I ride first. I always make sure I ride first. And then whatever else I can get to, I get to.
This is more true if you have boarded horses, if you have a boarding stable. Because you do, when you have a boarding stable, you're just all day doing, you know,
mundane.
Thank you. The mundane stuff. You're just doing that all day. And then all of a sudden you haven't ridden your horse. Your horse has less contact with transient population of horses, which reduces the risk of diseases. And that is true, because if you have horses going in and out of your barn all the time to shows and things, your risks is higher. And then Jamie added, your spouse will see you more, maybe, if they like to go to the barn. So if they're willing to walk to the barn, they will see you more.
Where have you been all day? You know where I am.
Right there. I think that's a pretty good list. Now, she asked about finances. Will it cost you more or less? I think, depending on the number of horses you have and where you live, that's going to be a big factor, because some places boarding's still a lot less expensive than here in Florida. You're going to save money having horses at home. In our case, I don't think we're saving much money. If you also include the mortgage, the insurance you pay, the homeowners, and all that you pay to have your farm, then you're not saving money.
So I've had a professional job in radio, and I made really good money. And so I had a really nice warm blood that I kept at an hour away and went and saw him, you know, 5 days a week. And with my salary, I could do that. Okay, I could afford one horse. I competed him a lot. Like, we did all the things.
And you were younger. Your expenses were less. You know, you didn't have kids or anything.
I owned, but with that job, I could not have my horses at home. It requires a dual income. Like, this is not. I could not have done an entire farm on my salary, though I had a good salary.
I think you're right, and I think what people don't count in, though, is the cost of the farm. So
that's the expense. That's the whole thing.
I mean, buying the farm, even, you know, because would you live on a farm if you didn't have the horses? Probably the answer is no. So you bought the farm to have the horses. If you amortize that over a 20-year period, are you saving money on boarding? Probably not, because you got insurance now.
I can afford. I could afford board. I couldn't afford a farm.
Right.
So
not in Atlanta, especially.
But here, basically, what I'm telling you is, right now, having your horses at home is the best, and it's basically free. So should just do it.
I saw a synopsis of this, a summary of this, on a Reddit page, and I thought this was perfect to wrap this up. If your priority is control and a long-term cost, and you have the time and the knowledge for 24/7 labor, home stabling is a dream. If your priority is convenience and accessing training facilities and you want to spend your time riding, boarding is the ideal choice. And I thought that was perfect.
Yeah. Long-term lower cost, I guess. Or
long-term, not immediate lower cost.
Either you want to ride with people in a nice facility and you go board, that's what you do. If you want to just have your stuff at home and sit on your porch and drink coffee and look at your horses and talk about how pretty they are, that's what you do. I don't know.
Yeah.
Either way, positives in both.
I think it's just, it comes down to less of a cost thing and more of a lifestyle question.
Lifestyle, yeah.
In my opinion, anyway. Well, I hope we helped a little bit with the discussion about whether to keep the horses home or away. And we're going to wrap up the show today. We're going to do the question first world problems in the post show. So if you're an auditor, hang around for that. We have a full week of shows for you this week. The American Horse Council's here tomorrow. We're going to be back on Wednesday with some weird news. Get your weird news into weird news at horseradionetwork.com. Mary Kitzmiller on Thursday, and then Jamie and I will be back on Friday. So we have a full week of shows for you. Be sure to hang around for that. And I have some positive news to close out the show today. And anytime I can get positive news about cancer, which seems like I've done a few stories recently about that, a Bay Area biotech company called Grail, it has a new blood test that they're saying is a game changer in the fight against cancer. It's a multi-cancer early detection blood test designed to find over 50 types of cancer, including many that currently lack screening methods. They don't have a screening method for them. So apparently it works by detecting DNA fragments that are shed by tumors in the bloodstream. So they know what are that cause these cancers, or, you know, the cancers cause these tumors, and they can identify those tumors and the DNA fragments from the tumors. And they said, according to the company's latest research involving 36,000 adults, the screenings showed a sevenfold increase in the cancer detection rate. Wow. So it has apparently.
So you get this, and then they say, "Oh, you have this cancer in your bloodstream."
Yeah,
do they then treat it,
yeah,
or
because
do you just
the tumor that's sending the fragments off, so they know you have that cancer?
Oh wow!
Yeah, so when you get this blood test and they say, "Yep, this is the cancer," you have it. You got to figure out where it is.
So you can just treat it then.
You
don't have to just wait.
You got
to
find that tumor and get some treatment. And they said it has greater than 90% accuracy. So it's not been approved by the FDA yet, but they're filing for that now. They've done the human test, and that was 36,000 adults.
You're a betting man. I'm going to send my husband this company and be like, you should invest.
Yeah, let's hope they get approved.
Get my day trader husband on it.
We're not seeing in this press release. But, you know, we've had some good news out of Florida here about curing some cancers and stuff. So hopefully we continue with the good cancer news, because I've also had friends that have died from it recently. So let's continue the good news on the cancer front. And this would be really good news. All right, let's call it a day. Let's go to the post show and hear what the auditor's problems are.
Oh, so sad. Spend it or geld, everybody.